All right, let's get into EDA. Diagnostic features and scoring procedure for EDA channel has not changed. So good news is, since 2006 or early 2000s, late 90s, this has all been the same. None of this has changed. This should all be about what we have all learned. EDA waveform is a reflection of the electrical changes in human skin. So it's not actually measuring liquid sweat on people's fingertips, right? A lot of applicants or suspects will come in and say, well, I've got sweaty hands. This test is going to really, you know, affect me. We're not measuring sweat, right? We're measuring the electrical current or the conductivity across the fingertips, right? Electrical current across the skin. So that is really the conductance of our skin resistances, and you know, you can switch those back and forth on your instrument, is what we're measuring, all right? Anybody still saying GSR? We're trying to get away from GSR, use EDA as the better term, as the more accurate term. I know a lot of us still have GSR maybe on our score sheets, but it should be EDA. All right, what we're looking at is amplitude is our primary diagnostic feature. And then our secondary diagnostic features are complexity and duration. Nothing new there. That's all. They've been teaching that since forever. I don't know that that has changed. Okay, when we talk about federal ESS today, later, if everybody's still here, we're just going to do amplitude. There's no complexity or duration in federal ESS. All right. With the EDA, we have the rise, the peak, and recovery. That's the three parts of an EDA response. Nothing earth-shattering there. We're looking at amplitude for that particular response. All right. Primary is always amplitude. Equal amplitudes are assigned a zero, and it should be visually discernible. So what does visually discernible mean?
Different.
I should just be able to look at it with my eyeball and tell. I shouldn't take my pen and get a sticky note and put it next to the EDA and mark the bottom and mark the top and then take my sticky note over to the other EDA and go, this one is a line length thicker, so I'm going to do a plus or a minus there. That's a zero. We should not camp out over that and score it that way. You should just be able to look at the two. This one's bigger than the other one. It's a plus or a minus. If I can't tell by looking at them, it's a zero, let's move on from it, go to the next one, right? If we're camping out over something that is a line length thicker, Don Crapole taught us a couple years ago, there's enough drift inside of the EDA that we can't really accept, what did he say, 10%?
10%.
He likes a 10% difference. Yeah. Some examiners are getting into the 20% range, they like about a 20% difference, that way you can just glance at it. I know it's a plus or minus, and if I showed it to 10 other examiners, would they agree with me? The problem with the sticky note method is if you show that to 10 other examiners, are they going to agree with you? Probably not, right? If we're taking it and we're marking it with a piece of paper and then moving that piece of paper over to the other EDA and trying to see which one's bigger, if you send that out for QC, nobody's going to agree on that. Everybody, some people are going to be zero, some are going to be plus, some are going to be minus. So it should be visually discernible. You should be able to get up on the stand if you needed to. You should be able to look at that chart and show a jury that one's bigger than that one. I don't have to squint at it. I don't have to use a measuring tool. I don't have to count chart divisions. It is just bigger. EDA response is going to be from stimulus onset to 5 seconds beyond the examinee's answer. All right? So that is a 5 second rule on that one for the row. Definitely not any different than we've all learned. Okay. Easy. We should be able to easily look at it and tell the difference, right? Comparison, we can give that a plus one to the relevant. None of us in this room would argue over that. Don't sit there and camp out over that. It's a zero, right? The thickness of the line is not a larger response. And if you do that, you can with confidence say, I know that this we're not going to go back and have pluses and minuses on stuff that we really can't say one is bigger than the other without some other scoring tool. Also, it makes your TDA go a lot faster. All right, complexity. Only when we have equal levels of amplitude can we look at complexity? Complexity is not going to outweigh amplitude or anything else. It never takes precedence over amplitude. We can't have a super complex EDA that's 5 chart divisions, and it's compared to a 7 or 8 chart division amplitude and say, well, this one's super complex, so we're going to give it the value. Complexity is always secondary. You have two different types of complexity. It happens on the way up or happens on the way down, or I guess on both, right? When it happens on both, it looks like a little middle finger, right? Like they're flipping you off. So you got rise side and recovery side complexity. All right. So what we have here is a set. We have both amplitudes are about the same. And then we would look at that complexity, that little extra there on the end, and give that a minus. Right? That is what complexity is all about there. Same thing there. Both about the same, but we actually have a little duration and complexity there. So we can give that a minus. All right, anybody disagreeing with any of these? These are right out of the TDA manual. All right, if the response duration, when we consider duration in response, it is only when we also have equal levels of amplitude, right? So both are 5 chart divisions or both are 10 chart divisions, but one has more duration than the other. Of course, duration never takes precedence over response amplitude. So we have one that's X number of seconds long, one that's a little shorter, both the same amplitude, give it a plus. All right. Exceptions to homeostasis. You can remember these, right? Okay. There are some exceptions to homeostasis. There's 3 for EDA. There's also 3 for cardio, and they're actually the same thing. All right. Homeostasis should be in place when we ask the question, but of course, we're not perfect, right? Sometimes we'll hit the button, we'll ask the question, and we will have just missed that it started to rise a half a second or 2 seconds before we ask the question. So if that happens to us, then we have some exceptions to the rules of homeostasis that we can apply to continue to put numbers on these EDAs. If it doesn't fit one of the rules of homeostasis, or it is a byproduct of something else, a swallow, a sneeze, a cough, or something like that, we're just gonna circle slash it and move on, right? We're not gonna try to squeeze numbers out of it. Homeostasis, exception number 1. The waveform responds early and then returns to the pre-stimulus baseline with the subsequent response occurring within the row. Note that the presentation of the stimulus occurred on the rise side of the response. So you can see that it's early. It's about 3 seconds early there. It responds early. It comes all the way back down right here to the pre-stimulus baseline and then responds within the row. That's exception number 1. We're good to go with that. I mean, everybody, even if you didn't know the exceptions to homeostasis, might would score this anyway, right? Because it came back down. Anybody disagree with that? Never seen that before? All looks pretty good. All right. Here's another one, exception to homeostasis. We get a pretty big early response, but it comes all the way back down to about the pre-stimulus baseline, or what was homeostasis. They respond within the 5 seconds, we're good to go. Now, obviously, we'd want to try not to present the question if we see the EDA has already responded. Wait another couple of seconds. If it's already been 25 or 30 seconds, maybe an irrelevant, and see if you can't wait it out another 20 seconds or so. But if you can just wait a couple more seconds, nobody's going to beat you up if you waited 28 seconds to ask the next question. It's going to be fine. And try to get numbers out of your responses. Okay, so try to get some poly charts out of there and use real charts. It reaches the pre-stimulus baseline, it is early. The question is asked on the recovery side. It makes it all the way back down to homeostasis and responds. That's a good exception number 1, exception to homeostasis number 1. Score that guy. All right. Exception number 2, it establishes a new tonic and arousal level within the response. This waveform establishes a new tonic level within the subsequent response occurring within the row. Got to be careful with this one, because how long does it take to acquire homeostasis in the response? no number on it. You ought to be able to look at it and say, that looks to me like it flattened out for 4 or 5 seconds and then responded again. So, might look something like this, where we have an early response, we get 4 or 5 seconds of a flat trough there, we apply the stimulus, an answer within the row, they respond. Okay, be careful with that one. It is a rule, it's a homeostasis rule, but be careful with that. Because it gets real easy for that trough to be a second or a half a second, or it just goes down a little bit and then bounces right back up. And we say, oh, we're going to score from this point up. So it really should, you really should be able to articulate that it flattened out there. And that subsequent response is as a result of your stimulus that you apply. All right? Exception to homeostasis number two. This would not be used as evaluation because there is no stabilization. So we have an early response. We then present our question. It then responds and comes back down. That little trough there was not flat enough for long enough. So we're not going to score that. Right? That's going to be a circle slash or an early. No response there. There is not enough to separate those two peaks to say that that little part when it came down at the bottom, it has somehow acquired some type of homeostasis there. All right. Here's a pretty good example. This is obviously a poly chart. This is a digital chart where we have an early response. It flattens out pretty well there during the row while you're asking the question, while the answer is applied, and right there the answer, it responds. So I think most of us would score that. Here's a pretty much a real life example of that similar thing. Get kind of an early response. It flattens out there during the row. I think we could articulate that's probably flat enough for about 4 seconds there. With a little hump, little extra flat part there, another maybe a second there on that second part, and then a response. All right. Exception to homeostasis number two. All right, number three. During the recovery from a non-specific response, the stimulus was presented and resulted in a subsequent but distinct response that occurs within the row. Obviously, this one is difficult as well, like number two. The Polygraph School notes to apply this one judiciously because there's a lot of factors that may apply. Global evaluation, obviously, the charts is important to make sure that your response is good. So we have an early response. This one is presented on the recovery side, not on the rise side, and then a subsequent response, right? So it has not made it all the way back down when the stimulus was applied. It's way up here when the stimulus was applied, but it is on the recovery side, and it makes it all the way back down. Some of them don't make it all the way back down. This one makes it all the way back down. So exception to homeostasis number three, it's applied. The stimulus is applied on the recovery side, makes it all the way back down to pre-stimulus baseline, and then a subsequent response. All right. Question presented during the rows, again on the recovery side, and then the response within the row. And what they're saying is it didn't make it all the way back down, but it was on the recovery side there. Same was this one. If homeostasis exists about 5 seconds before the question was asked, it does not make it all the way back down to the row, but it did make it down pretty flat on the recovery side, and the response was asked, okay to score. There's one that doesn't make it all the way back down to the bottom, but we're gonna say it went down flat enough, long enough, that we can score that. All right, again, same thing, responds early, doesn't come all the way back down. It's on the recovery side, but it does not come all the way back down. We'll score that. All right, there's been one variation. This was added in, I think, 2022. I'll have to look at my notes when I get to the next one. So this is a variation of rule of exception to homeostasis number three. So the tracing returns to homeostasis in the row and remains in homeostasis beyond the row. Generally, there is no set period of time in which the waveform must return to homeostasis. However, the longer it is in homeostasis, the more confidence we have when you apply this variation. I think I have a date on here. 2020. Now, this was a new thing added in 2020. It's probably stuff we were already doing, but essentially in this EDA, we have an early response. It returns to homeostasis within the row, and it remains in homeostasis. Previously, the verbiage on exception to homeostasis number 3 was it must have a subsequent and distinct response. What they're saying now is if it has the capability of response, but it doesn't, it's fine. It was already in homeostasis. It was already back to homeostasis. And that's a little difficult to explain. But essentially, we're saying there was an early response. It recovers. It has the ability to respond here, and it doesn't. So we're going to say that's either a plus or a minus, depending on if that's relevant or comparison. It did respond, but it could have. It remained in homeostasis, so we can still use it. Does that make sense? I know it's a little tough to explain. What they used to say is it had to respond. You had to see some sort of distinct response there. Now what they're saying is it's fine if it doesn't respond. As long as it gets back to homeostasis, you can still use it. That's a polychart there. All right, EDA. Excessive noise. What's probably going on, it's a polychart, but what's probably going on with that EDA? Too tight, right? Too tired, or they're pushing their hand down. Something's going on with the EDA. Might want to take an alcohol wipe, wipe those finger plates off. Or if you have a sticky pad or switch hands, definitely adjust that. If this is your ACQT, please don't run chart one like that. If this is your ACQT, please take a look at this. Do something before you get into the first chart. Don't just run it. All right. Can any of these EDAs be used? Do we see any exceptions to homeostasis there that we could apply to those to use them? No. No and no. That's pretty labile EDA, right? There's something's going on in the brain. They're singing song, counting in their head. Something's going on there with that labile EDA. That's typically in between charts, you might have a little conversation. Hey, what's going on? Everything okay? What you got going on in your brain? See what's happening there. Maybe you can let them know you see they're doing something. All right. Okay. R1, EDA is early. Stimulus is applied. It starts to recover, comes back down, not quite all the way to the pre-stimulus baseline, so that would be an exception to number 3, homeostasis rule number 3. Would we use this one, R1?
Yeah.
That definitely applies. That's the rule number 3. Okay? So I know that's tough to see there. We're looking at R10. We have an early response. It comes back down almost to homeostasis, probably within a half a chart division, and then responds. Yeah, probably use that one too, right? I think you can articulate that. All right. This very first one here, I can't tell what the, that's a 4. I can't tell if that's an R or a C. All right, we're going to score that one?
Yeah,
probably so. All right, now we have an early response there. It comes back down for, I don't know, a second, and then takes back off again. Is that going to fit any of our rules?
Yes.
Which rule did it fit?
3.
Did that come back down long enough to say that was good? That's a no. That's all one big response. That little hitch right there is not going to be enough to say we were almost back down, or the question was presented on the recovery side and it was still on the way down. That's going to be a no there. That's just one big response. That's just probably a big complex response. All right. Examine responds twice within the row. Now, this is an interesting one because it is taught in school, but you won't find it in the TDA manual. It's just one of those things they teach. Initial response completed within the row, and a subsequent response must begin within the row. Utilize the most significant response, right? So if there's 2 EDA responses inside of the row, you take the bigger of the 2. Right? So this is like what it would look like. You get that first response, which is timely. It comes back down and then responds a second time. Okay to take the second. right? Don't just look at the first one and say, ah, that's over, and ignore, look at the first one and say, oh, it's over, we're not going to score this second part. So definitely going to take a look at that second one, score the bigger of the two. Here's a poly chart. You see that first response, it's tithing, comes back down, they answer, then a second response occurs, okay to take that second one. Score the second one. All right, let's talk about cardio. Any questions about EDA?
Yeah, you had on the one where the homeostasis, it came back down and there was no response.
Yeah, the variation.
But what about establishing a new tonic level and no response?
That's what that variation is.
So
let me go back to it. There it is.
So that returned to homeostasis with no response, but
right.
If it actually dropped down, not all the way, but establishes a new tonic level, maybe three chart divisions above it,
in the right,
then there's no response.
Still good.
It's still good.
Yeah, as long as you can articulate that it has created a new tonic level, still good to move forward with it. Yeah, probably going to be a minus there, right? Because any response would be bigger than that.
Correct.
And essentially what they were saying was that that's your only scoring, like if you're doing a zone and all you've got is that dangling comparison on the end to go to the last relevant, then you have to use that comparison.
I just want to make sure you weren't excluding a new tonic level in that.
Right. As long as it is in some sort of homeostasis and stays there or creates a new tonic level. Yeah. Good question. Cardio. Let's talk about cardio a little bit. It's the display of physiological patterns of the examinee's relative blood volume, pulse rate, heart rate, blood flow, blood volume, all the things that we explain to people during fight or flight. Okay, there's one primary diagnostic feature, just like EDA, is going to be baseline arousal, which is just a phasic response. We're going to have duration and decrease in rate as the secondary diagnostic features, okay? Really, we're just gonna be looking mostly at duration. Most of us with the naked eye are not gonna be able to see decrease in rate. The response onset window for the cardiovascular channel is from stimulus onset to 5 seconds beyond the examinee's answer, right? That has not changed in 20 plus years. Phasic response is the short-term change in the physiological activity followed by the stimulus presentation. This for cardio typically has a relatively rapid onset and may return to stimulus baseline or establish a new baseline. Those would both be phasic responses. We talked about those earlier, what a phasic response would look like for cardio. Just like what you were saying, if it creates a new tonic level, that's fine as well. Let's say it was early and then created that new tonic level up higher, fine, as long as it's homeostasis. All right, both phasic responses, it goes up and just stays up, or it comes back down, all right? When we look at the duration of those two, when we talk about the one that goes up and creates a new tonic level, it's where that new tonic level keeps on going. So that's how we'll look at the duration of those two. On the phasic response, it's where it comes up and then where it comes back down. Decrease in rate, tough to see. Heart starts beating harder, so it has a stronger pump in between each heartbeat. I'm sure it happens. Our eyeballs just probably can't see that very well. Okay, baseline arousal is the primary feature. The more arousal gets the value. It's visual discernible difference. Just like with EDA, we're not going to camp out over it. We're not going to use our sticky note and trace it. We'll get a clear piece of cellophane paper and trace over it and put it over the next cardio and try to see which one has a fraction of a quarter of a chart division more. We're just gonna look at it and say bigger is better, right? We should just be able to look at the two and say, is it early? No, looks good. R4 is bigger than C6, we're just gonna minus one, right? That should just be real easy to look at. Everybody's cardio looks perfect like that, right? When we're getting charts. All right. R5 to C6. What are we looking like there?
Zero.
Don't camp out over it, right? If you can't tell the difference between the two, one of them might be a 16th of a chart division bigger than the other. Let's just zero that. We can't get up on the stand and show that to a jury and say, I minus that R5 because you can see this one heartbeat was kind of, that's not real life. All right, the duration. We have equal levels of baseline arousal. More duration may be assigned. Because one has more duration than the other, then you can assign a value. Duration cannot zero out baseline arousal, right? Because one's real long, it doesn't beat one that's taller. So, polycharts here, electronic charts, both are about two chart divisions there, just looking at them. One is obviously a little longer than the other one. We'll give that value the minus, right? R7's a little longer than C6. All right, C8 to R5, both are about two chart divisions there. One's gonna be a little longer than the other. We'll give R5 the value. Should be able to just jump right off the page at you. The impact of decrease in rate in the cardiovascular waveform, I'll say this, I've run a couple thousand charts. I've never scored a decrease in rate on cardio. Has anybody scored a decrease in rate in cardio? You have fancy eyes or anything that you can see those better using your special eye. All right. If baseline arousal does not exist, you can go to slowing of the rate. And, of course, I've got no real charts for slowing of the rate. It's going to be electronic charts. R7 there, you have a slowing of the rate for like 15 seconds or 12 seconds. C6, you have it there for like 7 seconds. So maybe if I really start looking at it, that was a little easier to see there. Maybe really separate those out there. Again, these are digital charts here. I'm gonna give that a plus. I'm not gonna spend a ton of time on that. All right, priority of how we do it, baseline arousal wins, duration is secondary, decrease in rate is third, okay? Secondary features never take precedence over primary. Previously listed secondary features, not formally identified as secondary features anymore, is parasympathetic activity used to be a scorable feature. So parasympathetic would be like what you see at C2, where it just goes down. They would score that. It just went in the opposite direction of what we're looking for, which is sympathetic response. So obviously R2 gets the value there. Back in the day, I don't know, maybe that was a zero. I don't know how they would have scored that. Maybe you look at the chart divisions of each to see which one has more response. I'm not sure. All right, so it's parasympathetic versus sympathetic. There you can see there at C8, I have a recenter there that goes on, and then we have some parasympathetic activity at C8, where it's kind of on the way down there through the question. R4 has the value because it is baseline arousal there. Minus one. All right, just like with EDA, there's exceptions to homeostasis rules, and they are the same as the EDA rules. The waveform returns to a pre-stimulus baseline, and then there's a subsequent distinct response occurring within the row. Okay, so it's early, R4 is early, comes all the way back down to the pre-stimulus baseline, and then responds within the row, subsequent distinct response. All right, number two, also the same. Must establish a new tonic level within the row. We're not going to consider anything outside the row. So this one doesn't come all the way back down. It gets pretty close, doesn't come all the way back down. And then it acquires about 4 heartbeats there inside the row and responds. And that lasts about 14 seconds or so before it comes back down to homeostasis. So that would be a good response there. We would be able to use that one. Exception number two. All right, here's a polyscore chart where we have a long, early response. It finally acquires some homeostasis inside the asking of the question there. About 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 heartbeats in a row, 5-ish in a row that are pretty flat. And then we have a 2 chart division response that occurs. So okay to use that one. It acquires homeostasis inside the row.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah. Here's another one, same thing. Kind of responds early, flattens out inside the row there for three or four heartbeats. Bill Gary from TDA, if you guys remember Bill Gary, he used to teach two heartbeats. That's a little tough. We'll probably want to see, we'd like to see more than two heartbeats. That's about four of them right there in a row, five. You got one or two going into the question that are flat, and you have about three more. So you start getting more confidence with more heartbeats that are flat there, and then a response. So okay to use that one. All right, exception number three. During the recovery from a non-specific response, the stimulus is applied, resulting in a subsequent but distinct response that occurs within the row. Of course, just like with EDA, use this one judiciously. Don't just say, we got no homeostasis in the row. We don't want it to say it just kind of bounced off the question there and went back up. So we have an early response there. We have one, two, three, four, about five heartbeats of flat there inside the row, and then a response, subsequent distinct response. So that's going to be okay to use. Same thing there, kind of goes up, stays up there, kind of a new tonic level for about seven or eight heartbeats, and then another response. We can articulate that. It's probably good to go. All right, that was pretty similar to the very first one I showed, except it's only about four heartbeats there. And then it responds again, subsequent and distinct response. All right, is this an exception to the homeostasis rule here? Do we get some flattening out inside of C2 there? It's not as good. You might would articulate there's about two heartbeats there, maybe three. So I think probably most people would look at that. If you look at where it is right before the question is asked and you just kind of globally look at it, it looks like it's maybe all one response. So this particular QC put a no on it. I'm not sure what I would do with that. I'd probably have to look at some other questions on the chart.
See you like the applicant.
Yeah, right. You trying to hurry up and get to lunch or what, right? So to be safe, that's probably a no. All right, same thing with EDA. You can respond twice within the row. The first response is completed. The second response must begin within the row. You must use the most significant response within the row. No latency exceptions outside the row. So you have that first response that occurs. It's about chart division and 3/4 there. And then the next one, still within the row, is about four chart divisions. Okay to look at that second one and score that second one as your response. Even though that first one has pretty much already come all the way back down, use the second, use the larger of the two. Not great homeostasis there. Got some parasympathetic activity going on, but for the purpose of this slide, we're going to pretend that's good homeostasis to the left of the comparison. Get about a chart division there, and then a little recovery, and then about two chart divisions. So the truth is, that's probably more of a cardio role, but trying to find examples to put in here to take these polyscore charts out. Okay to score that second part, which is slightly bigger than the first part. All right, same variation applies, again, which is new terminology from 2020, saying that if we have an early reaction, we have a lack of a reaction, but it acquires homeostasis in the row, there does not necessarily have to be a distinct response post question. You can go ahead and score C2 to R2. Right? The R2 would get the value there. It acquires homeostasis in the row. All right, following four previously used primary diagnostic features were unsupported by research and removed. So there was an increase in amplitude in cardio. That was removed. There was a decrease in amplitude in cardio. That was also removed. An increase in rate was removed from consideration. And I'm waiting on this one. Yeah, PVCs. You should score PVCs. Do y'all score PVCs, Dave? Don't remember scoring PVCs. That might have been early. But yeah, PVCs used to be a scorable criteria. Now, What's interesting is on the bottom one, I have seen examiners still score that. Remember, after a PVC, you're going to get a natural rise. You're going to get a 2 or 3 chart division rise after a PVC, and that is just what a PVC does. So every time when you see this bottom one where the cardio is just plugging along, it looks great, you get this PVC that occurs, wait for that little response to occur. Don't score that. That is just the end result of a PVC. So circle slash through that. Don't score any PVCs. Even if you're tempted, even if that's, oh, well, I don't think the PVC really affected it, I'm just going to score it from here on. The PVC definitely affected it and caused that little rise on the bottom, that bottom cardio there. All right. Previously used secondary diagnostic feature, unsupported by research, was speed of arousal, how quickly the cardio went up. I don't know how you would score that. I guess you would just look at two cardios and whichever one went up faster. If there was two equal amplitudes, you would score the one that went up faster. All right, that's TDA.